There was a talented player looking at that. Derek East. Played hooker in the era of Mike Nichols. I don't know where Nick was that year, 68, 69. Because I can't even see him in here, which is most unusual.
He must have had some injury, I think.
Must have done. Yeah.
And that's why East would have played often enough to get on the honours board.
Yeah, but he was he played for the Gloucestershire as well. And was a very good hooker. Treadward boy. Played for Treadward. And his uncle had one game for Gloucester at Leicester. And Charlie Anniford scored the winning try. For some reason, that must have been a funny year. We didn't have a hooker. And we picked up this kid from, I think it was All Blues. Name was Phillips. And he came and played only one game. And we went down and Charlie Anniford scored the try and we won that game, which was a great performance, because you didn't get many wins then in Leicester. Even in those days, it was a difficult fixture to play. And you also, in those days, you used to get some very localised referees. I'll say too much, but you tended to get a lot of East Midland referees, and very often out here, you would get a Gloucestershire Society referee. So, yeah. You know, there may have been an edge to it in those days, but which you don't get anymore. And also, I felt when we won the John Player Cup, which is going on, we also won that because the referees were from all over the country and they had no bias either way. And, you know, I think that was because Colin Teague came down and was a relation of Mike, I think he's his uncle, came down as a second row and, as Gloucester want, turned him into a very good prop. And he was a very good prop too. He learned from, he asked his Jack Folk, who was not quite sure what the he was a brother-in-law, I think, what you had to do to, what hints did he have? He said, put your head in and learn. So that was Jack's advice too, and that's what he did. And he did turn into be a very good club man and played a lot of games as well. Here's a name here, Andy Fielding, was the son of Jim Fielding. It was Fielding's in Platts. He was my first rugby team. So he was a good player. Didn't play for too long, but big leggy, 6'2" centre. And unfortunately, he was also very good looking. So he was at that stage, we were all getting to our 30s, I suppose. 29, he came in at 21. And Ronnie Etheridge played for the county, fullback, good running fullback. Unfortunately, couldn't place kick. If Ronnie played, which he had things that Eric didn't have, you know, he came into the line better than Eric. He could catch a ball as well, kick a ball, but not as far as Eric. But he was a running fullback. It was what Don Rutherford liked in those days as well. We were trying to get the game more modern. We were trying to get the fullback in the line more and the wingers coming in. And Ronnie was a tiny player. Must have played 4 years, I suppose.
Scottish trial.
Had a Scottish trial. Yeah. Like I say, if he could have place kicked.
Yeah.
But just, you know, he was out there, he tried, and he could place kick as well as I could. I think I kicked one penalty for Gloucester, I'm not sure.
That's right, you did.
And that was from the touchline on the right over there against RAF, I think, something like that. I think I'd been out injured, and I think I played on the wing that day. And I think I was the only kicker in the side. I think I kicked a penalty.
No, I don't think I've got a record of that. But it was in 67, 68.
So yeah, there you are.
You kicked your one penalty.
My one penalty. I kicked a few for Gloucester United and also in schoolboy rugby. But I came down here and there was Alan Older who kicked. You know, they had Jeremy Taylor who could kick the ball from the halfway line. And yeah. you didn't get a look in as a 17-year-old. It was... there you are. I've got the ball. I'm kicking it. Does anybody else kick in training, or But anyway, the pressure wouldn't have suited me anyway. Tommy Palmer, great number 10. Good friends with Tommy through the years. One of the best tackling 10s. Not as a 10, because he wasn't too good head-on, which most 10s don't need to tackle head-on, so that's why he wasn't that good defensively in the centre. But his work rate was phenomenal. He covered wingers, and he actually, I think, kept the great Richard Sharp out of the Cornish team. That's how good he was. Come up from Cornwall.
Yeah, from Truro.
Truro, was, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's still in Gloucester now with his wife, and comes down occasionally. We see him occasionally, and typical Tom, love him dearly, and a very, very, very good player. Kept Terry Hobson at the side, I think, for a while, and, well, I don't think Terry really came back in, and he went to Bath for a while, and came back and broke his leg.
Yeah.
Nasty breakout here. I think he was playing for the United at that stage. It was underneath the post down there, I was here, and terrible, nasty injury, and never played again. But I think Terry had some more years of rugby still in him, but that injury finished him. Mike Burton, we all know Mike. I mean, I used to go greyhound racing with Mike. he was a big, great greyhound man when he was younger. He started off, I think he worked in some kennels in London, and he loved the horse racing and dog racing, so did Digger. And I think he used to lodge with Digger when he first came to Gloucester. And another guy, Warren Fort, his dad, I don't know his first name now, but between the two, they used to very often lodge on their settee if he... Digger was very good to Mike Burton, and Mike Burton was very good to Digger as well. So it was reciprocated in later years, you know.
Did Mike Burton make an impact as soon as he arrived at the club?
Not really. He was very young. I'm not sure they played prop at Longlevens a lot, because I would have thought when he came down here, he's quite tall. And I had the feeling he might have played in the second row at Longlevens, but I might be wrong. But he seems to be one of these ones that come down, he lost the turn into a prop. But but when he first went in there, he was about the worst scrummager I ever saw. He stood up and just bent his neck in. It was, you know. But he learned very, very quickly. And in the end, he was animal cunning, like, you know. And... the biggest thing Burton liked to do, if he could cheat a little and get away with it, was his biggest prize of the game. He just liked to get away with a little bit of, not so much skullduggery, although that was in everybody's armoury at that particular time, but if he could cheat and beat the referee, he loved that one. Like, you know, he had that mentality. I did say to him on one game, which was going to be a tight game, I said, if you give a penalty away today in front of our post, I'll kick you. Because he just couldn't help at times, even when you were all organised, he had to try to get his hand in and, you know, in cheat, like, you know. But tremendous character through the years, and we've had some good times. And I would think all round him, with his football ability and his scrummaging and his, you know, about the field, he was as good as he came. You know, he'd had a lot more caps. I mean, he was in the era of Fran Cotton. And without Fran, I think he'd have probably had another... He'd have been up the top end of 40, 50 caps at least, I would think. You know, yeah. Good friend. And I mean, you've got Golden Hands, we used to call him. There, he scored the try against London Welsh. Mike Potter. Yeah. Mickey Booth nicknamed him Golden Hands. But... I mean, that game he had against Mervyn Davis at London Welsh had to be as good a number 8 performance as I've ever seen, I think. You know, Mervyn Davis would jump up, Potter, who was so strong, would just catch him in the air and turn him. And we had the ball, whilst he was clamped, and good number 8. He's not down here, the guy who was also a good number 8 here, very underestimated, Dave Owen. Good number 8, Dave. We went on tour once with him. He had the worst cauliflower ear I've ever seen. And it was full of fluid and it was very painful. It was on his right ear. And so he didn't play in the first two games that we played. But we got down to the last 14, I think, by the time we got to Exeter on the way home. And we persuaded him to play on the right wing because he wouldn't have to tackle with that side of his shoulder. He could tackle the left side, you know. And after about 8 minutes, he had to make a tackle and he burst his ear. And I mean, we laughed, but I'd never seen anything like that. Half of his ear was hanging down. And he'd never forgive us, I don't think, for making him play that day. But we'd been one short. That's what we told him anyway. You know, there were one or two who could have played who were under the influence of ale, I think, and didn't want to go out there. But we had some good times on.
Yeah, he's
that.
Down the following year.
Oh, he is down here, yeah. Dave Owen in. But 70, 71, I mean, he'd been playing.
Yeah, he'd be in his 30s, wouldn't he, by then?
Yeah, he'd played a lot of rugby for Gloucester through the years. In fact, he played for Gloucestershire. We probably know Dave Rollett, do you?
Yeah.
No, from Bristol.
Bristol.
Well, Dave Rollett was selected for Gloucestershire one game. And the following game, they were doubting his that he came from Gloucestershire and that he'd been here to qualify. So we had to withdraw him. Dave Owen was reserved for Gloucestershire against Devon. And we won 39-3. And Dave Owen scored 3 tries. I think his only county championship game, and then he got dropped. So Robert came back in, but that was the sort of quality of player he was. I mean, he was just very good. Jim Jarrett, he was a hard boy. He wouldn't ever believe it when he comes down here now, but he looked so polite in the voice of an angel, but... Yeah. He came from Pontypool, so need I say any more about that? There's Bob White there, who came from Cheltenham, good centre. Must have played in the 72 Cup winning side in a couple of games, and very, very, very good player, strong, yeah, good tackler. He was very good.